I took the minuet over one day when I was going to hear him in Indianapolis. And he asked me, what I'd like. I went backstage to see him, and I told him I enjoyed his minuet very much. And he said, "You do? Do you play it?" And I said, "Well, yes, fairly well." And I said, "I've heard you play it a couple times, and I always enjoyed it very much." He said, "I hate it." Of course, he composed it. He says, "I hate it." In that broken tongue, you know, "I hate it." He was a funny little old guy, but nevertheless, when he played for an audience, he always spotted two or three people.
Oh, yeah.
That he more or less would play two, I guess. But in Philadelphia, for 20 years, he always spotted a man and his wife at a certain location that was there in this seat every time for 20 years. That he always played in Philadelphia at least once a year, in all the big cities once a year. But he went out on the stage one day, and that's the first thing you notice, two empty seats out there. So at the intermission, he sent for one of the ushers and told them about these two empty seats. "Would you please look it up?" So they went back to the ticket office and checked, and they found this man and his wife, the name, the street address and all, and they had it all written out. And he said, "Thank you." He completed his program, and after the program, he called a taxi and went to this address and went in and visit this man and his wife, and neither one of them were able to come. They were getting quite old and they weren't able to come to the concert. But he had taken so much interest, he couldn't imagine leaving Philadelphia without finding out what was wrong. Mm-hmm. So he just paid him a nice little hour's visit. And right here in Terre Haute, there was three boys out there when the old Union Station was there.
Oh, yeah.
There was three boys there on the siding, and his private car was there. He was going to play in Terre Haute that night. And that morning, he was practicing. He had a private car, and he was always carried a practice piano with him, a Steinway on his private car. And he was in there practicing that morning. And the colored man who looked after his car came out on the back end or the observation end and shook a couple of rugs. And one of the boys says, "Hey, mister, you tell Mr. Paderewski we'd love to hear him play." Just kidding, you know. He says, "Okay." And he went back in, and he come right back out and opened the gate and raised the floor there. He says, "Come on, boys, Mr. Paderewski invited you in to hear him play." And they went in, and Paderewski played a half-hour recital for him. It was in the papers and all.
Wow.
But that's the kind of a guy he was.
Mm-hmm.
He was just everybody liked him. He just, whether you knew him or not, or whether you'd ever met him, everybody liked him. So, I don't know whether I told you or not, did you ever hear of John Browning? John, the piano artist. His mother and father graduated from DePaul University.
Yes.
In 1950.
Yeah. You mentioned him,
yeah.
I believe, to me.
Yeah, I know John pretty well.
Yes.
I knew his mother and father real well.
Uh-huh.
And he played in DePaul last year, and we had quite a visit, about a half hour together. It was very
you kept your DePaul contacts?
Never went to school in my life. Only to take piano lessons once a week, but I've always kept my contacts over there.
Well, that's been good for you.
So,
good for them.
Yes, I guess it is. I know even yet, the faculty has changed considerable since I was over there as far as that's concerned, but I know Herman Bird and Henry Colling, Leah Carnett, and